Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Blessed to be with you again and all the listeners.
Amen. And we want to praise and thank God for all those listeners.
And the technician there behind the scenes.
Yeah, Joe. Quiet Joe. We don't give him praise enough. He does it week in and week out. So thanks, pal, for all you do. And thanks to all of our listeners for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayers and financial support that continues to allow us to bring you shows like today's. And like I said, we can't thank you enough. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. And not much in the way of announcements. Our shrine to Matt Talbot is still open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with 8:30 a.m. Mass in the morning. And we more or less close the shrine at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evenings. We actually have our Calyx Mass in the church that starts at 6. All are more than welcome to come and join us for Mass. We start out with some prayers by the shrine, and then adoration, and then Mass. So we've gotten upwards of 30 and 40 people the last couple of weeks. So come down and join us. Even come early. Check out the shrine and the Cathedral of South Philadelphia there at St. Gabriel's Church, the corner of 29th and Dickinson. I'd be more than happy to see you and show you around. And things are going well. There's still a little electricity down here on the corner, Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my prayer, Ken, is that the Holy Spirit will fire up the hearts. It's just a wonderful place. You know, it's the gate of heaven. It's the house of God. People from everywhere can make a pilgrimage down here. You know, we make pilgrimages. We get on jets and ships. Here, maybe you just drive right down here to people that are local. This is a Catholic local radio station. People are listening to us. You might have relatives or sons, daughters, even parents, you know, that are really addicted. Well, make a pilgrimage down here at St. Gabriel's Cathedral, where Matt Talbot, the go-to for addiction. And Matt Talbot, of course, leads to right to the heart of Jesus, to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Tabernacle. I keep thinking about all the saints that are in our church, Ken, and it's like there's a presence to them, all the saints, you know, yeah. St. Anthony and St. Patrick, St. Rose of Lima, St. Therese Little Flower, St. Francis Xavier, Padre Pio, Our Lady of Lourdes, with the Sacred Heart, little chapel there. We go around and around and around. Yeah. All these saints are
patroness of the...
Boy, Matt Talbot, did have a wonderful devotion to all the saints. And they're our brothers and sisters. And come down and visit us and see our Cathedral of South Philly and go through the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot for our loved ones, our brothers and sisters who suffer so much with addiction. There's no cure, Ken, except for the medicine of God. I keep thinking of St. Monica, where 1,600 years ago, that she was alcoholic, and her son said about her that after she had her recovery, she wasn't married at that point, but when she had a recovery, Augustine said that my mother had a disease, alcoholism, drug addiction, a disease, and often a terminal one, and there was no cure for it except for the medicine of God. And that's where Matt Talbot not only found his sobriety, but his sanctity on his way to being a canonized saint. Someday we pray. Right, Ken?
Amen. Absolutely. And one of the saints you left out is our patroness to the secular Franciscans, Elizabeth the Hungry, is there.
Yes, yes.
And,
I left a few more out.
Yeah, yeah.
The apostles are around.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I always give a trivia question about where's John the Baptist at? He's in two places, and one would be we have the Joyful Mysteries. So he's in the womb of his mother in one of the paintings above.
Okay.
And the other one is the baptismal font. And God the Father is there. You know, he's in the center of the church up in the ceiling looking down at us all. He's right in the center of it all.
Amen.
Yeah. And Our Lady of Sorrows, where most people go for the souls in purgatory, lighting candles there. But St. Anne is there.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
They're all there.
St. Aloysius, he has his own chapel.
Yeah.
But it's a sight to see, really. People are in awe
when
they see the Stations of the Cross. Yeah. The 12 apostles are around the top.
Yep. Lots of stained glass. There's one up there with a McKay name on it I saw the other day.
That's my brother Anthony and my cousin Danny.
Gotcha.
And my brother Anthony that died from an overdose of drugs. We have a stained glass one for him in the church.
Very good.
Yeah, so many names inscribed there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The book of life there, you know, the book of life.
Yeah. So come on down, pay us a visit. Again, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8:30 to at least 6 o'clock, a little bit later on Tuesdays when we have Mass following.
I did a pilgrimage. And I even told Pat and others, I'm right across the street. I'll go in and out. If somebody's here, then they want to talk to me. Somebody's sick. Somebody wants a confession, when you make a pilgrimage, go to confession. And I like that word, pilgrimage, make a pilgrimage. There's so many graces, so many blessings in a pilgrimage. And, we're needed. We're talking about addiction, it's so diabolical. But there's a way out of it. There's a solution, and it's the heart of Jesus.
Amen. We're going to talk about that heart.
Sacrament.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that heart quite a bit today. So.
Yeah.
Yep. So let's pray. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or perhaps you're listening from a distance over our website at inhissign.com. You can reach us at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Especially want to hear from you at the bottom of the hour for our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. So we'll give out the numbers before we go to the break.
Can anybody would like to share their devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the experiences of his heart?
Amen.
Be most welcomed.
Very good. And I think we got somebody on the line before we start.
Paul.
Yep. How did you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, the little birdie told you, huh? Yeah. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Father Doug and Ken. I'm sponsoring today in honor of Matt Talbot. It was his 96th anniversary of his passing, June the 7th.
That's right.
So it's I'm sponsoring today. And by the way, is it your birthday today?
My birthday?
He's coming up. His
birthday's
coming up.
Tomorrow.
Okay, I thought you mentioned. Okay, well, happy early birthday.
Nah, appreciate it, pal. Thanks so much.
How's the shrine doing over there?
We're doing well. Get a few people hanging out every day, all day, and We got groups now. There's a group of women that come at 3 o'clock on Thursday, stay for an hour, and then go out to dinner. So it's becoming part of people's weekly devotions, weekly ritual, if you will. And
Is he venerable, a servant of God?
Venerable.
Venerable,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Too humble to get a miracle, Paul. We keep asking them.
I think they're going to come. I really believe that. Because I felt, when I was there praying for about 15 minutes nailing, I just could radiate. The holiness was just the radiating. You know, I could feel it.
Yeah. Now, he was incredible. The more that we read about him and learn about him, the more you understand, you know, why he did what he did and who he was. And just a quiet saint, an urban mystic, and I think a beautiful ideal for all of us if we look at how he lived his life.
Basically, he was a prayer machine.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
All right. So, like I said, today's was 96 years, right?
96 years on Monday. That's right.
25.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So he's in my prayers. You're in my prayers and everybody, okay?
All right, Paul. Thanks for all you do for us here at In His Sign. We appreciate it.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, Father.
Yeah. Also, you know, there's moral miracles, and there's thousands of them. But the church is looking for that physical miracle. We have so many miracles down here in Grace Ferry, in our church. Guys and girls stop drinking. They stop drugging through the intercession of Matt Talbot.
Right.
So they're the ones that really count, to go back to confession and back to God. They're the greatest miracles of all.
Right.
But the church is looking for that physical miracle.
They're coming. I can just feel it.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Ken does, too. We feel the electricity.
There's a force down there to be reckoned with, that's for certain.
No, like I said, when I knelt there for the second time, 15 minutes in the shrine, I could just feel the holiness. I felt it.
There you go, listeners. There's a witness from Paul. Come on down and witness it yourself. Feel it yourself as the power that can be felt down there now. Yeah.
All right.
All right, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks again, pal. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank
you. Yep.
Eucharistic power from the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart pulsating in all the tabernacles of the world. That's what Matt Talbot taught us so much.
Yeah. And speaking of the solemnity, or speaking of the Sacred Heart, on this coming Friday, and actually the month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart, but on the Friday following Corpus Christi, we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart. Plenary indulgence is available with all the normal things that we need to do, go to confession, go to Holy Communion, pray for the intentions of the Pope, and then there's a prayer for prayer of reparation made to the Sacred Heart. And, of course, no attachment to venial sin. And doing that can get you a plenary indulgence this coming Friday. But the devotion goes back to at least the 11th century, but back then it was a private devotion, not much of a public devotion, and often tied to the five wounds of Christ. And then the Feast of the Sacred Heart, I believe, was first celebrated on August the 31st in 1670 in Rennes, France, through the efforts of Father and later St. John Eudes. And from that area, the devotion spread, but it wasn't until the visions of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who lived from 1647 to 1690, that the devotion became universal. And all the visions that St. Margaret Mary would have, the Sacred Heart of Jesus would play a central role. And the great apparition actually took place on June the 16th in the year 1675, during what was then an octave of the Feast of Corpus Christi. Today we celebrate it on one Sunday, but in the past it had been a full octave, 8 days. And that's actually the source of the modern Feast of the Sacred Heart. In that vision, Christ had asked St. Margaret Mary to request that the Feast of the Sacred Heart be celebrated on the Friday after the octave of the Feast of Corpus Christi in reparation for the ingratitude of men for the sacrifice that God had made for them. And so it represents not only his physical heart, but his love for all mankind. The devotion became popular after St. Margaret Mary's death in 1690, but because of the church's doubts about the validity of the visions. It wasn't until 1765 that the feast was celebrated officially in France. So it was almost, and then 100 years later, in 1856, Pope Pius IX, at the request of the French bishops, made it a universal feast, or a feast for the universal church. So it's currently celebrated on the day requested by our Lord, the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi, or 19 days after Pentecost Sunday. So we'll be celebrating it this Friday. And I know, Father, back when you were on retreat at Malvern, there's a great shrine there to the Sacred Heart that has the 12 promises. And at some point we'll list those out, those promises for the folks that have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. But I know it's a feast in a month that plays a significant role in your life, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, Ken. You know, first I just want to say, you know, the octave, our Lord himself is asking for this. Remember, Corpus Christi was celebrated on Thursday, and then it was the 8 days. And so it ended on the Thursday, but the next day would be Friday. That close, right, to his Eucharistic presence, the Corpus Christi, his body, showing his Sacred Heart pulsates in that body in all the tabernacles of the world. And, of course, the octave was dropped in the church. I'm not sure for the reasons of that. But anyway, they had several octaves, you know, but we kept the Easter and the Christmas octaves. And an octave is 8 days. It's like the one day that you're celebrating. They had an octave for Pentecost. And I know the reason why they dropped the octave for Pentecost, because you have 50 days after Easter. So if they continued the 8 days, then it would have been 58 days after Easter, because the day would have been the same. So they wanted to keep that Pentecost as 50. I'm not sure about Corpus Christi, though. But anyway, it's the Friday after Corpus Christi now. But yeah, my devotion, first of all, it starts out not in a good light. My grandmother had a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on top of her stairs. And very often, my grandmom would babysit us. And I would look up at that picture, man, and I was scared. You know, it was a heart sticking out of a man's chest. And I'm only little, you know, maybe 4 or 3 years old. But that image was burned in my mind. And my grandmother kind of burned it, because she said, "He's looking at you, and you better be good. And if you're bad, you will be punished." And if I was bad, I would fall down and hit my head on the, see, you'll get worse. You better start being good. And so I'm looking at this Jesus on top of the stairs, you know. He's going to beat me when I'm bad. But later on in life, you know, when I started to really understand it, you know, and that heart is just a symbol of his fiery love. When you look at the heart of Jesus, you see that fire, you know, that burns out all of our sins. You see that intense love that he has for us. I always see the burning bush there. I see the Trinity there. I see the fiery tongues of the Holy Spirit. You know, that heart is just depicting the Trinity to me. And it's so Eucharistic. Ken, and some of the experience, I get a little nervous when the feast day comes with public mass, because I had some experiences. One was at St. Hedwig's in Fairmount, and I was there at the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And right at the consecration, my heart started pounding. And I wasn't even sure if it was my heart, but it was pounding, you know. And all of a sudden, I just felt so moved with his love that I couldn't contain myself. I'm trying to fight back my tears and the sobs, and it's getting worse. And I had to stop. I don't know, 3 minutes. I just couldn't move. And all the parishioners there, the daily communicants, are looking up at me. And after mass I went, I was greeting the people coming up, and I remember a lady saying to me, "Father, did someone die in your family?" And I thought, yeah, Jesus died, my brother. And I had that experience two more times with the Little Sisters of the Poor, just totally moved by the love and the real presence of Jesus there, you know, at the altar in the Mass. And you know, when you look at all the apparitions of Margaret Mary, they're all focused except for the last one, which is in the sky. But it was Profession Day, and he came at the altar. Now, remember, the altar and the tabernacle were one then. So he's showing his divine presence, his real presence there. He would come in adoration. He would come, you know, in benediction. You know, but it was always Eucharist, showing that him, his presence, his sacred heart is in the holy host. It's in the tabernacle, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. He's human and he's divine. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that it's not a wafer that we receive. It's truly the body and blood of Jesus. And people really believe that, Ken. They'll be running to church. You know, we'll have to force our doors open. I look around at the world and, you know, football games, baseball games, concerts, you know, you wait in line for tickets. Here is the King of Kings, our God, who has the solution, who wants to fill our hearts with abundant life and complete joy. If only we believe and go to him, it's a game changer, you know, in the pray. But, I can talk like this because I've experienced his real presence again and again and again, Ken. But, yeah, it is a special devotion for me. I wear the Sacred Heart badge on my person as the Pioneer Pledge there.
Amen. And we know that the Sacred Heart badge was the original AA chip. We've told this story a number of times before, but Sister Ignatia, when folks would leave the hospital where she and Dr. Bob worked, she would give them a Sacred Heart badge and tell them that they weren't allowed to drink it until they returned the badge to her. And once in a while, the guy would call her in the morning and say he'd be coming by in the afternoon to drop the badge off because he wanted to drink so bad. And she would often pray for them, and then they'd never show up. And so hopefully they maintain their sobriety. And so, you know, those of us that are, especially those of us that are in recovery, can feel that devotion. I know a number of people, as a result of hearing that story, now carry the Sacred Heart badge with them, myself including for the Apostleship of Prayer. And so, significant role in my life to some degree. I think not nearly as deep as yours has been, Father, but, you know, it's like anything else. You hang around somebody long enough, it's bound to rub off. So it has been for me as well. And I was just thinking, you know, up in my office, I was at one of the Wake Up America dinners. It may have even been the first one I went to. And, you know, Kathleen would always have the silent auction, and she had a picture there of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that was originally painted by Joe DeVito, and Joe had prints made, and I guess Kathleen had gotten one and had it framed. And I ended up coming home from the Wake Up America dinner with that. And then when I learned who the artist was and went to his website, I saw that he had a beautiful picture that he had painted of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and that that they were available for print. And I mentioned it to Kathleen, and she managed to get me that print, and I was actually able to get it framed with it, you know, so it was identical to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I was just thinking about it because the beginning of this year, after the Pope had called this the year of St. Joseph, I actually got in touch with Joe to see if he had done a painting of the purest heart of St. Joseph, and he hadn't. He said he could do one under commission, but I'm not the kind of guy that commissions art, at least not yet. But I would love to complete the Holy Family with that picture. But that picture of the Sacred Heart, sits right above my desk. And like you said, with the Pioneer Pledge is really all about the Sacred Heart and a devotion to the Sacred Heart. And between that, the AA chip, the picture, it's just a constant reminder of, you know, how much Jesus loves us. And, you know, you can't look at any image of the Sacred Heart, I don't think, without coming away with that, the impression of how much God really loves us, of how much Jesus really loves us, the extent that he went to prove that love for us. And then to, you know, wait 1,600 years to appear to St. Margaret Mary and provide the details that he wanted. You know, it wasn't something she made up. It was the details that he gave her around this whole solemnity. And so it's important. I it's probably one of those things that isn't absolutely necessary in order to gain salvation, but it's certainly a huge help. And you know, along with that came the First Friday devotion. There's plenary indulgence that we talked about earlier, and all the wonderful things can come about as a result of a devotion to His Sacred Heart.
You know, it was the time of Jansenism, too. Nobody was going to communion. And this is where our Lord made the promises, where, you know, the nine First Fridays, to bring people back to Himself, to come to communion. You know, years ago, I always think of this, that the communion lines were real short and the confessional lines were real long. Today, the confessional lines are real short and the communion lines are real long. In fact, years ago, they said to Jesus, they never had Saturday night mass because it was time for confessions, afternoon and evenings. There were so many confessions. Cardinal Crowe was one of the last ones to have Saturday night mass. But the pastor would come out around dinner time and say, look, all the mortal sinners go home. All the venial sinners go home, and the mortal sinners stay. Of course, everybody went home. But, yeah, you know, so many changes. But, you know, the pioneers, as you said, Matt Talbot was a pioneer.
That's right.
He was 133, one of the early ones that signed up there, and it was founded in 1899 by Father James Cullen, and it started with five women and then men, and it spread throughout. And looking at my number, it's 59190, but the Pioneers Association. So, but here's the other thing, Ken. As this mission started here, right, we just celebrated 24 years on June the 6th. And I remember, we walking the streets, going in the bars, bringing the materials of Matt Talbot into the bars, riding the bicycle through Grace Ferry. I said, man, I wish I had a house. I wish I had a house somewhere. I had no money, you know, and I remember having an experience like a dream. That Jesus' heart was open, and out of His heart, His side wound, were flowing diamonds and rubies and sapphires, and they were overflowing my hand. It looked like I hit the slap machine, you know, down in Atlantic City, the jackpot. And I looked up at Him, and I said, Lord, you know I don't want this. He says, that's not for you. That's for my poor. I'm your treasure. And right after that, somebody had come up and said, anonymous donor, and said, you know, somebody wants to buy you the house right across from St. Gabe's, where Chuck's living now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was four checks that came. But when we gave the first check, we got the key on June the 6th, 1997, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. How even the mission starts, Ken, you know, with His heart, with His sacredness. And everything's connected. And all the experience I would have and all these things. And you know, just as I look back, I just see how His hand was fashioning everything. The love of His heart was just overflowing to so many of all of us, the whole world. But here in Grace Ferry, you know, that I would see it and experience all these wonderful, beautiful conversions and healing graces and transforming love of our Lord.
Amen.
24 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We just had a run of days in May and June that are important in your life and my life, and certainly as Paul mentioned, on June 7th, the 96th anniversary of Matt Talbot's death. But that brings us just about to the bottom of the hour, Father. So I want to give out the numbers. We want to hear from you, whether it's about the Sacred Heart devotion, whether it's an odd, you know, is that odd or is that God that you want to share with us. We as Catholics stink at witnessing to one another, so here's your opportunity to be a witness to all of our listeners as to what God has done in your life. So we would love to hear from you. Again, numbers 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly, it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay. And our Lord is no longer here in the Philadelphia areas. We've gotten no phone calls, Father.
My heart is sad.
Yeah, the Lord has left
well,
the city.
We had Paul.
Yeah, we did have Paul. That's right. We just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And we know sometimes it takes some holy boldness, as Kathleen would say, to pick up the phone and give us a ring. But I assure you it's no different than calling any of your friends on the phone and having a conversation. So seriously, if God's touched you in a particular way that you'd be willing to share with us, we would love to hear it. And I shared one on Monday night that happened on Monday. It was interesting. So preparing for our Matt Talbot Secular Franciscan Fraternity that gets together on the first Monday of the month. That's another one. If you're so inclined and think you might have a Franciscan vocation, we would love to have you come down and visit us on the first Monday of the month. Our next gathering will be on Monday, July the 5th. Our formation director, Tom Dillon, had given me a call to talk about a couple of things. He wanted to make sure we took care of Monday night at our meeting. And in the course of the discussion, we were talking about a couple of the people that recently joined us and their promotions. So it's no different than I think any of the other religious orders in that, you know, there's various stages of formation, and you get promoted from, one level to the next. You know, you come as an inquirer to see if maybe you're really, to see if you're even interested. And after 3 months, you move into a subsequent group, and then finally into the orientation group that'll prepare you for your profession. And it can take up to 3 years rather to complete the formation and actually do the profession. But anyway, Tom and I were talking about the three people that we have in the inquire and group, and one of them was supposed to get promoted in July, and then the other two would happen in August. And he got left down. No, but you know, I had mentioned to Tom that, you know, the gentleman that was going to get promoted next month is such a nice guy. Maybe he'd wait till the following month and the three of them could go up together. And I no sooner hung up the phone than that gentleman called me, and he said how sorry he was that he was going to miss the meeting Monday night because he had another commitment that involved some other people and that he really couldn't get out of it. And so as a result, the three of them, when they come in July, will make the final meeting they need as inquirers, and then we can move them up to the next group all together in August. And so that one was one of those ones that was only within about 15 minutes of not really a prayer, but, you know, just voicing it. And I think sometimes that's all we really need to do is, you know, voice our concerns or our needs. And for some reason, you know, I think God can read our hearts and hear our, you know, read our thoughts. But there's something that happens when we vocalize it and say it out loud, I think, that really gets his attention sometimes. And that one, yeah, turned around in no time. But I know he's alive and well. He takes care of me all the time. The fact that I'm able to do half the things that I do in life is proof enough for me that he's alive and well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. That was out of God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The ordained.
Yep.
Worked it all
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah. And not that it would have been a big deal, but it's nice to have the three of them together, so. Yep.
I guess maybe this would be an honor, God, for me. When you mentioned Malvern with the Pavilion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you've heard me tell the story, Ken, when I was given a retreat and I got up early and the sun was just rising. I got a cup of coffee and at Malvern and my breviary, and I went out to the Pavilion of the Sacred Heart, sat on the bench. I remember a deer was nearby. It was blue skies and puffy white clouds and just a beautiful morning, and sipping my coffee and reading the breviary, I took a walk. Afterwards, I took a walk over to the pavilion. It just drawn me, you know, to the 12 promises, and of course, one of the promises that I claim would be the 10th promise. I always like to read that and really savor it. You know, I will give to priests who are animated by a tender devotion to my divine heart, the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. And I claim that, and I see that. I will give the priest that grace to touch the most hardened hearts. And again and again and again, I just see people come, Ken, with conversions and long years of confessions. I'm talking 30, 40 years, ex-cons, you know, and then hearing confessions, and then they would just cry. Sob, you know, and I know who that is, you know, just touching their hearts and after confessing their sins and repenting and experience that heart of Christ in the confessional. But anyway, when I was there reading that 10th promise, the experience the other guy was, I heard the Lord say to me, Douglas, you preach my mercy really well, but you yourself don't feel worthy of it. I said, well, Lord, should I feel worthy? All my life I hear I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And he's right back at me, you are worthy. You are not your sins. You are my brother. And that makes you worthy. And Ken, I can't tell you, you know, the theology I got off of that, you know, it's just so beautiful that we are not our sins. I always think about the cross when Christ hung on the cross. And he looked down at the very ones that were killing him. They did everything to him. They flayed him like a fish, stripped him in front of his mother, spat on him, ridiculed him. And he can say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Now, what was he forgiven? Certainly not sin and not evil. There had to be something in them that made them worthy of his death. And that was the image and likeness of the Heavenly Father as he creates us. And, you know, I look at that and I get all kinds of wisdom out of that locution. That we're not our sins, we're not our shortcomings, we're not our character defects, and all we have to do is go to him. He'll wash it away clean, because that's not who we are. It shouldn't be with us. It's foreign to us. He purifies us, transforms us in that very love of his, because we are worthy. I might not be deserving, but I'm worthy because God does not make junk.
Amen.
We make the junk, but God is the junk collector.
And speaking of a piece of junk he collected and turned into a model citizen. Hello, Patrick. Patrick.
Oh.
Hey, how are you, brother?
Hi, gentlemen.
Good to hear you.
How are you, Father? How are you, Ken?
Hi, Patrick.
Any
good
better?
To hear your voice.
Any better? I have to take something for it.
Is it Matt Talbot?
What's
First
going
off,
on?
The peace that I experienced over at that shrine, it's a peace like none other that I felt. And it's a beautiful church, so the more people we can get down in there to experience it, the better off they'll be. And But because of different things I've heard of Calus and different things I've heard Ken share and Father share, I now carry in my pocket my baptismal certificate. I carry my Calus membership card. And I carry this red case that has rosaries in it that was given to me on one of the Calus retreats. And inside that case, there's a medallion, like the AA medallion, except it's the Sacred Heart medallion with the Serenity Prayer on the back that was given to me by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And story has it that when these guys would go to Towns Hospital and Sister Ignatius, before they left, she would give them a Sacred Heart medallion.
That's right.
And I don't know if it's myth or legend, but it could have something to do with why they give out coins.
Yep.
First chip.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised.
So, and I can't say enough what Calus has done for me in hand-in-hand with Alcoholics Anonymous and finding my way back to the sacraments and then being able to be down there last Wednesday. And I was kind of upset I was missing the radio show, but to experience what I experienced last Wednesday with sitting in and eating at a homeless mission that I once ate at when I was wandering the streets of Philadelphia, and to be in the presence of the Archbishop, sitting next to him as I'm sitting there being served in this mission. I mean, I can't put the words, the experiences that I've been having through turning my world, my life over to the Holy Trinity.
Amen.
Yeah, you're getting me jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, Father and I were on the radio last week. We got to get him to switch that day to a Thursday or something, so we can get over there. That was awesome. And for the Archdiocese to reach out to the ministry and invite us over, Patrick's referencing the meal they serve over at St. John's Hospice, and they'll invite groups in on a Wednesday. And Archbishop Perez or one of the other bishops will be there. And just a really good thing. And if you want to read more about it, our good friend Gina Christian, always writing great articles for CatholicPhilly.com. If you go out to CatholicPhilly.com now, you can see the article that was written about the affair last Wednesday. And so we want to thank the Archbishop and St. John's Hospice and the Archdiocese for inviting the folks from Our House Ministries to come up and spend some time. Heard the same, similar sentiments from Kathy and others that were able to attend. So, good for you, Patrick. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Just to see, Patrick, how God works. You know, you being there with the Archbishop and even with Amy Stoner, who's a friend of our ministry, and Gina Bishops. You know, they get to know us more. You know, and they see our work, and so we get more support from them as well. But it's all divinely improvised, designed by God Himself.
Amen.
So thank you for being there, and bringing us on the map of the Archdiocese even more profoundly. Good job, Patrick. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Patrick.
God
see you tomorrow, hopefully. I'll be down the shrine tomorrow most of the day.
Hey, Patrick.
All right, I'll see you then.
All right.
Patrick.
Yes.
I was wondering, did you start your article yet? With the Catholic Philly.
I got the pen. I have the opening paragraph. So,
all right.
I thought
I put you on the spot. You know, you're on local radio now. Everybody's going to be looking forward to that article. One can write it better than you.
Yeah.
We'll be praying. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint your
words.
More
will be revealed.
There you go. All right, bud. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Guys.
Yep. See God bless. Bye bye. And we got another call, Father. Tom.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Odd but God. What hit me this week was prayer, the concept of praying, and how a lot of us have a hard time getting in that mode of praying. And I caught a podcast, Father McCaffrey, I believe his name is. I guess he was a chaplain for 30 years. And he was talking about the rosary. And he was saying, you know, people say the rosary is so boring and, you know, I just can't get into it and, you know, it doesn't work for me. And he said, listen. And again, he being a chaplain, you have to understand the military. They always work with acronyms. So he came up with prayer is difficult, but basically the acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S. That's how you pray. You pray the rosary. A, adoration to God. You spend 5 minutes giving God adoration, the glory of God, why he's so great to you. That's A. C, contemplation. Put yourself in the mystery that you're dealing with, of the 20 mysteries of Jesus through the rosary. Put yourself, the first step is meditation. He talked about how you're on a runway, and you're going down the runway, and you're starting to meditate about that picture, about that meditation, about that particular scene, let's say the visitation. And then you get to contemplation when you lift up on the stick and you're starting to take off. You're literally taking off the runway. That's when the contemplation kicks in, and you're just flying with contemplation. T, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you in that particular scene. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done for me. To the T, the 15 minutes of prayer, the T. And then the S, the seeking. S is the seeking. That's when we get to give out our laundry list, the laundry list of all the things that we are seeking, passing that exam, you know, getting that promotion, something happening with the kids, that's seeking. And he made the point that, you know, we don't always get what we want. And in God's time, you know, he gives us what we want, what's good for us. And we look back in our lives and we see some of the things that we didn't get, but we got other things later. It all made sense. So the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, A, adoration, C, contemplation, T, thank you, God, and S, seek. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the call, pal. Good to hear you.
All right.
God
hey,
bless.
Tom.
Yes, Father.
I heard, you know, when I was younger, there was that same acronym for ACTS. But it was a little different the way you described it. It was adoration, you know, you place yourself before God, of course, or say the Sacred Heart of Jesus there, you know, you're face to face with him. Then you adore him. And then the C was contrition. You tell him about your sins and that you're sorry. And, of course, the T was thanksgiving, but the S was called supplication, petition. Tell him what your needs were. And I ran with that for a long, long time. That really fed me, the acts, but that's another twist for you to put that on, contemplation and thinking, you know, that deep prayer.
Amen.
Thanks for that, Tom.
Okay, Father.
All right, bud. Talk to you soon.
You bet.
All right. God bless. Mm-hmm. All right. So got a couple of folks in, a couple of the regulars. Great to hear from Patrick and Tom.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I don't know, we've been at this 5 years, Father. We should be able to generate at least a couple new people. Maybe when the Matt Talbot statues come in, we can
we can
tempt people with a statue for in exchange for a phone call.
When the pilgrimage starts up,
yeah,
and the people start flooding, we'll be getting a lot of calls.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to extend it.
Yeah. So anyway, we were talking about the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which we will celebrate this coming Friday. And we had mentioned before the promises of those that have the devotion to the Sacred Heart. And Father mentioned the 10th one, that he'll give the priest the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. But the other 11 apply to everybody, not just priests. So I thought I would run through them, Father. First of all, Jesus will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. So whether you're single, married, mother, father, priest, whatever your station in life is, you'll get the graces necessary to do well in that state. The second promise, I will establish peace in their homes. Who doesn't need that, especially these days? You know, we see division at all levels, even within families now. So devotion to the Sacred Heart will bring about peace in their homes. The third promise, I will comfort them in all their afflictions. The fourth one, I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. The fifth promise, I will bestow abundant blessings upon all their undertakings. So, you know, what a gift that is, Father, with the, you know, some of the things that we've undertaken, especially the shrine to Matt Talbot, and knowing that Jesus' blessings are right there with us.
How blessed we are.
Number six, sinners will find in my heart the source and an infinite ocean of mercy. Number seven, lukewarm souls shall become fervent. Eight, fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. So we move from lukewarm to fervent, and then from fervent to high perfection. Number nine, I will bless every place in which an image of my Sacred Heart is exposed and honored. So I have one in my office, and I take that promise to heart. As we mentioned a couple of times, number 10, I will give priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. Number 11, those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart. So it's no surprise that Kathleen McCarthy and the work that she does with helping people to consecrate their homes to the Sacred Heart has her heart written on Jesus' heart, or her name, rather, written on Jesus' heart. And number 12, last but not least, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive Holy Communion on the first Fridays in 9 consecutive months the grace of final perseverance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. And with that one, I think, you know, is that why the school year was 9 months, so that we would get the 9 first Fridays every year? You know,
the confession the Thursday before, right?
Yeah. The good sisters made sure we got there. Yeah. But before we talk about the promises, we got another phone call, Father. Okay. Hello, Kathy.
How you doing, Ken?
All right. How are you, dear?
All right. How you doing, you and Father?
All is well.
I want to tell you, so remember with the Sacred Heart, Mary D'Angelo, Susan Matthews, Francis and Maternity for Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, Kath, do you have a radio on?
No.
Okay, we're getting a little bit of feedback. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying Mary DeAngelis, when she gave us as a Christmas gift the Sacred Heart picture with the promises.
Yep.
The Franciscan Matthews group.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a great gift. And
I have that downstairs, and I have one in my bedroom, but and plus a Pioneer, but I remember Father was telling me, too, before, near the eyes of the Sacred Heart is, if you really look at it, it's the dove, the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody ever noticed it, but Father had pointed it out to me before. And I had a devotion to the Sacred Heart years ago. I would just look at the picture, and I didn't even know the prayers, but I would talk to them, and, you know, I felt like I was in adoration because I really believed he listened and he understood where I was at.
Amen.
Kath, Mary DeAngelis had me go over to her house to enthrone the Sacred Heart. Remember we had a couple come down here for Calyx and gave us a talk and gave out all the images of the Sacred Heart and to be enthroned in your house? Yeah, it was really promoting that devotion. Hey, Kath, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Well, you gave us the holy boldness, how I said. Come on, Lord, you can help me with this. I didn't have the right number, so I text Patrick when he was on. But right before that, I was going to text Tom. And right after Patrick, Tom got on, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I have it, and I just wanted to thank you. And yeah, it's really an exciting event with our Matt Calvert Shrine across the street. And I'm really believing he's going to become a saint, and I'm hoping more people will come and see what we're talking about and be able to enjoy what we're enjoying.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Kat.
Thanks for...
Kathy, thanks for all you do for the ministry. Kathy's been with us since day one. And also, you did a good job last night chairing the meeting. So thank you. Keep letting the Lord shine through you.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Kath. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It, hon. All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, she's been with us all the way through, Ken.
Yep.
Grew up together.
Yeah, we got.
You mentioned Kathleen McCarthy, you know, and I remember she came down and talked about the Sacred Heart. And she had a microphone and she heard his heart pulsating.
Yep.
And then she hit the microphone, you know, thump, thump.
Yep.
Thump, thump.
Yep.
Thump, thump. That always stuck with me, you know.
Yeah.
It was so powerful.
Yeah.
She heard his heart.
Amen. Well, we got just a few minutes left, Father. We had mentioned the promises before Kathy called. And I didn't know if you had a final comment you want to take us out on.
Yeah, gosh, there's so much more I'd like to say. But one thing, you know, when I really get stressed out or difficulties, you know, I got all kinds of different prayers that I would say. But one of them was like the surrender prayer, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. But I kind of adapted it to the Sacred Heart, and I made it this way. Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you. Please take care of everything, and thank you. And I see that, like, that please and thank you. It's so powerful. And trust. Like, I call trust and thanksgiving like TNT. Trust God and thank him. It, like, blows the devil right out of the water. And I often think about that word, just please, you know, to ask him, use please. I think of that little poem, hearts like doors open with ease with very, very little keys. And don't forget that two of these are thank you and if you please. So thank you, Jesus. For all the blessings through your Sacred Heart throughout the world, but for our house ministries and our shrine to Matt Talbot. And if you please, keep those blessings coming.
Amen.
Yeah, but that's one of the prayers I would always say. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you. Please take care of everything, and thank you, and he will do it. So thank him ahead of time.
Very good. Well, gang, it's been a fast hour once again this Wednesday, and Father, of course, will be back next Wednesday. In the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to have Christine Watkins on, and we're going to be talking about Mary's Mantle consecration, one of the older Marian consecrations. So you're not going to want to miss that. I believe she's calling in now, so we'll kick that off at 5 o'clock. So can we get your blessing, Father, before we let you go?
Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place all our trust in you. Please take care of everything. And thank you. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father.
God
we'll
bless.
See you tomorrow. God bless. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.